Thanks for that, James. That's Titan with the, I believe, movement two of the Chrysanthemum Pledge. And we're live with them with... anyway, introduce yourselves, guys, and tell us what you do in the band. We'll start there.
I'm James. I'm the singer of Titan.
And the saucy one.
The saucy one. Then we have Chris, the guitarist.
Chris W.
Chris W.
Chris Wario.
And Chris Mario, the drummer. And Alex.
A-bomb.
And how long has the band been together?
Chris and I started jamming in February. And then we became an official band on June 6th, 2006, as noted on our MySpace.
Yes, I see that. Okay. And how did you form, kind of?
Well, the three of us, Chris, and James, have been playing in bands for, like, years. James and I were in a band called Pans Beyond, and Chris was in I Spoke. And then both bands actually played their last shows together and kind of broke up around the same time.
We did that split 7-inch.
We did.
Panzer Spoke 7-inch.
Yeah. And then it was just kind of like, you know, me and Chris started jamming, and then James was like, oh, hey, I sing. And
well, yeah, I moved away, which is why Panzer Burn broke up, and then I moved back, and then people could start living their lives again.
That's nice.
Actually, I had to convince James to decide to sing again. He had this stupid idea he was going to play the drums.
In a slow band.
Yeah, so I had to convince him to sing, and then somehow Alex found me on a message board. So,
yeah,
but
random.
It turns out we all knew who Alex was, but just didn't really know him.
We know him a little bit. We like still don't even know friends. His last name.
Yeah.
But, you know, Alex holds that bass so high, like a prog rock bass player. Yeah. I've never seen anyone hold that bass, like just hold that neck up. Like,
Alex is progressive.
Yeah, we're a progressive band.
It's almost like a lightning rod, just waiting to get struck.
His nipple is actually like twice the size as it was from when
actually,
he started playing in the band. He's got a really serious condition from the rubbing.
I'd say that Alex did get struck pretty well by a bit of a lightning bolt. A small one at that, but...
It's okay. You guys were first known as Daybreak.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why the change in name?
There's like 20 Daybreaks.
Yeah.
And it's not a very good name.
There was one in a similar genre, and apparently there's some like shitty Toronto pop band called Daybreak that everyone was sort of getting on a case about. So
I've never heard them. Chris can speak for himself, but
I do.
But you know, yeah, there's a Daybreak on that's like, yeah, sort of in this sort of, yeah, similar genre that we don't want to conflict with. Like, there's other bands called Titan, but like, we don't fucking care. Like,
fuck them. Who are they?
Who the fuck are they?
So why did you pick Titan though? Outside of, I mean, what's the significance behind the name, really?
So we could have a self-titled song.
It's pretty metal. The whole Greek gods thing is kind of metal.
And we've got a self-titled song on our next, not our next release, but the release after that. Because we try and fashion a lot of things we do based on sort of the standards that Steve Harris and Bruce Dickinson have set years ago. And so we just really wanted a self-titled song. And what better song, you know, to write about than
Titan?
Mythology.
Mythology, yes, I guess.
Subject.
You know, it's deep. It's huge.
Yeah.
And metal seems to have lots of it. It's steeped in it.
Exactly.
You have a recording coming out called the Chrysanthemum Pledge.
Yep.
Movements 1, 2, 3, and 4, is that right?
Yes.
That's right.
And then you have another recording called Titan. Did you play, the Chrysanthemum Pledge tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. We played it in its entirety.
All four parts, all four movements.
Yeah.
So you have other material.
It's not recorded, but we're writing it now.
Okay.
Well, we're soon to record, we have a recording session coming up that we're recording a song for a split 7-inch with this band called In First Person, who are from New Jersey and Philadelphia. They're really close friends of ours. We've played with them enough. We've played the States as many times as we've played Canada so far because we're such close friends with them.
Okay.
Every time they beckon us, we come down and play their houses and stuff. And so, yeah, we've got a split coming up with them. And then
do they beckon you by courier pigeon? Or
well, basically, the only people who offer
smoke
shows.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's actually, funny enough, the Roman god of Mercury comes and delivers us a letter.
Message?
Yeah. And
anyway,
Hermes was the messenger of the gods, actually.
Mercury. That's his Greek name. I just couldn't get it.
Okay. Okay. I'll buy that.
Okay. So where did the idea for writing a four-part song come from? I remember Protest the Hero released Acacia recently, and it was like, I think, a song in eight parts. And, you know, it seems very prog rockish. Is that kind of the idea or what? Like, you know, well, like, you know, how prog rock had those, you know, monumental epic, like, whole record songs, right? And they did them in pieces. You know, I was thinking of Rush, maybe 2112 and stuff like that. Is that the idea or what?
It's not entirely dissimilar from that, but
yeah, it was kind of that the songs sort of the way that they were written, not intentionally, sort of flow together.
Yeah.
The way song one ended was on the same note that song two started, and we sort of just took that and ran with it.
Okay. What is the Chrysanthemum Pledge? I don't know what it is. I'm not familiar with it.
Well, as I mentioned, Steve Harris and Bruce Dickinson, how they well, we had the idea of writing the long song, and in my last band and like in my own poetry, it tends to be really short. So I needed to figure out a way to sort of embellish and have more material to write about. Because when I'm just talking about, you know, my feelings or whatever, you know, I usually get to the point. So I did what Iron Maiden do, because I just turned to Iron Maiden. And I write about history and mythology and fiction. So The Chrysanthemum Pledge is the name of a short story written by a Japanese author from the 1780s, maybe 1780s, named Uta Akinari. And it's a story about friendship and suicide. And I sort of just interpreted it in my own way.
Okay. Aside from the Chrysanthemum Pledge, are there other things you sing about?
Well, like it's
lyrically, I'm
well,
enough of this. Don't feed him.
funny enough, our split with In First Person, Tom and Vanessa, and well, the whole band of In First Person and I are avid comic book collectors, and so in trying to figure out, you know, the sort of the base material for my lyrics for that, we decided upon we would both write a song about a story arc in the Uncanny X-Men called The Age of Apocalypse, which is pretty huge and dark. So, see, I like dark, you know.
Heavy.
And then, you know, and then we have in our upcoming, which is probably going to be a full length, I talk about some Roman Catholic history and sort of just I interpret it in my own way. I'm not just telling a story because that's lame. I sort of interpret it my own way, and I like correlate things to my own life. Like The Chrysanthemum Pledge is a story about friendship, and I recently, over the past year, have gone through, like, you know, a lot, like, I was kind of homeless for a while, and sort of my friends really stuck up for me there, and I was sleeping on their couches and stuff. So it's sort of a mostly a way to get back and sort of about a journey, you know, that kind of crap.
Okay. Is there more songs than the Chrysanthemum Pledge that you play out? Because I want to ask you about, no, just the, okay, so far.
We're recording at the beginning of next month. Yeah. We'll have a whole slew of demos and stuff to, and an Iron Maiden cover.
And a Sabbath cover.
You guys are doing covers or no? Is that serious or no?
Mostly maybe. For fun.
Well, yeah. we definitely are recording the cover.
What song are you going to do?
Prowler.
You know, the first Iron Maiden song that anyone ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, it's just basically we haven't played the Chrysanthemum Pledge very much, especially not locally.
Not
so
even
we
10
won't.
Shows.
We don't want to start cutting it off and playing new material before we've, you know, at least played this until we're sick of hearing it.
But this will be the first record that comes out.
Yeah,
this is what you were talking about, James, on downstairs. Yeah. It's going to be released on a German label. Is that right?
Yeah, a German label called React with Protest.
And when is that coming out? Next month, you said, or
yeah, it should be next month. I'm going to send the master out tomorrow.
But actually, I'll do it tomorrow, guys. I promise.
Yeah, you're committed on air now.
Yeah, I'm actually doing it tomorrow. I'm picking it up tomorrow. I'm gonna send it out.
Okay, how did the label come to find out about you, and how did this all come about?
Well, Lars, that runs the label, he's really big into Canadian bands. He released the Buried Inside Suspect Symmetry LP. And he released this 12-inch comp called Emo Apocalypse or something like that. And I Spoke was on that because he had found out about us and asked us to be on it. So when we recorded the Chrysanthemum Pledge, I was like, hey, I'll just send him a copy in the mail. Just, you know, putting it out there. I sent it to a few friends of mine. And he was so stoked and excited, he emailed me back the next day. And he was just like, I want to put it out as a 12-inch. We weren't going to say no.
Hmm, yeah, yeah, of course not. That's amazing. I think you sent it out to 27 people.
No, we sold a few.
Oh!
Actually, we did a run of 50, and then we remixed it and did
a
run
of
27.
77 copies out there.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
That's the CD version we've been selling on our at our shows and stuff.
Yeah.
We have like a CD version that we've been selling at shows until the record comes out, and if we can get someone to release it on CD, hopefully in North America.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
How long ago did you record this?
Well, we were playing a couple shows in the States, and we decided we needed a recording. So James hooked us up with some guy who was friends with Alex.
Yeah.
By coincidence.
By coincidence, we all kind
of. Did you know that, Alex, ahead of time, or was it a surprise when you got to
the surprise. I didn't know the guy. Well, I knew the guy from shows like back in the day we used to play, and I seen him right there, and then I was like, wow, I was excited.
Yeah, caught you off guard.
Yeah. We ended up recording for like 12 straight hours from 9 p.m.
from
9
to
9 a.m.
9 p.m. to 9 a.m.
And just in a mammoth session of metal and noise, we just kind of produced this bastard child.
26 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 9 hours.
Yes.
12 hours.
And 26 minutes later.
But yeah, but the important part is that it was 9 p.m. to 9 a.m., yeah. Whether that's 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
It was in the early morning.
No,
we were recording during
so
the witching hour.
Yeah.
That's like 2 or 3 or something.
And I was grumpy and I had a nap.
Yeah. I had a nap too.
I think everybody napped at one point.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask you about, have you gotten much feedback from the recording? What have people said you sound like? I wanted to... sorry.
Who's going to feel that?
What do you think you sound like?
The only times we ever assess our sound is when we're making fun of each other.
Yeah, totally.
And we talk about everybody that we, you know...
So
anytime a bit of influence sneaks in, we're like, oh, you rip off Iron Maiden in that part. Like, oh, that part is totally fucking
Yeah,
Slayer.
Before we played, we were accusing Chris of ripping off all his favorite bands.
Like who?
Iron Maiden.
Slayer.
Slayer.
Neurosis
is the newest one. He says he doesn't... he says we don't think we sound like Mayer, but there's some Mayer in there.
I don't know. I don't listen to Mayer.
He doesn't listen to Mayer, but whatever.
It's mostly like when I was a kid... I was really big into a lot of metal. I started listening to music with Slayer and Metallica, and then I sort of transitioned into the more emo, hardcore as I got a bit older. So this band, when I've been writing these songs, is sort of a melding of those two influences. So there's a lot of, I guess what you would call emo in there, and then a lot of metal to balance it out.
Okay,
we're all metal nerds also.
Yeah,
which is a big influence on our sound.
Yes, hence the double bass drum.
Yeah. A little.
Yeah,
a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got a double kick pedal laying around somewhere.
Yeah.
Dusty.
Yeah, rattling off the skin. Anyway, I wanted to ask you if you had to limit your record collection to, or your music collection, 5 punk releases, what would they be?
Punk releases?
Steve, I was expecting this, and I thought long and hard
last night
about this.
Is this collectively or each?
Each.
No, each.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I'll go first. The Portraits of Past LP on Ebullition is probably...
Are you going to give me the five as last time?
No. I thought about this. But then you said punk records.
Yes.
So that has... You've just thrown me a curveball. And now I'm going to have to start from the beginning.
Minor Threat.
Okay, Alex. Alex has got one. Feel free to chime in with your own as I'm continuing to think. So there isn't too much dead air.
Okay, usually I hate this question, so I just give a really stupid answer, like 5 Meyersbauer records. But but I'm going to throw in that I would take like the Black Flag discography, because it's really good.
Well, yeah, I'd say Black Flag first 4 years, because you got 4 years of good records in there. Cheat a little bit for that one. And Static Age by the Misfits. Punk records. I guess, yeah.
Cheat a little more. Punk to Come by Refused. That's on my list.
That's a good one.
And then New York itself titled.
Punk record?
Yes, it is.
I guess I'd also throw in, since I guess that Minor Threat discography to cheat a little bit more.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What other discographies? What other best ofs could I throw on there? I can't even think of what I listened to for punk. Dark Throne. Dark Throne's black metal.
Not quite.
If you'd ask like top five black metal bands,
early,
I think everybody
early Vader
could.
CDs.
Yeah. Punk records.
How about like Slayer?
Does that
first
count?
Like Haunting the Chapel or Show No Mercy?
Haunting the Chapel's a metal record.
Show No Mercy's almost a punk record. The Antichrist was almost a punk song.
Okay. Fine.
I'm stretching the boundaries here.
You are.
And I guess I like a lot of that like post-punk kind of stuff, like Wire, and I don't really like The Fall, but that kind of
stuff. I love The Fall.
I really like Strife, but they're sort of like a metalcore band.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sort of count.
Oh, wait, what's that other... Oh, shit, that band. I really like this band from Japan called Jism. They're fucking good.
Gizm, yeah.
Yeah.
Gizm? Gizm, yeah.
Gizm.
Yeah, it's an acronym.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, shit, okay.
Guerrilla Incendiary something something.
Okay.
I can't remember it all.
And, the first Discharge record is really good, too. Oh, and His Hero Is Gone. Does that count? Is that metal?
Yeah.
No, that counts. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say The Plot Thickens, but His Hero Is Gone is Monument to Thieves.
Monument
to
Thieves
all
is,
of our
is good.
Top fives.
Okay, I think James has answered this for you all.
Yeah.
Is that good?
I hope.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Collected enough of there.
Yeah. Okay. I really like From Ashes Where Rise the Nightmare LP. I like that one, but that's I like my punk to be a little bit more emo as well. So I like Tragedy.
I believe he coined the term
heavy.
Emo crust.
Everyone.
I don't think I coined it.
I bet everyone listening to that hates the term emo crust as of right now.
I know. Everyone
and it's totally going to catch on.
Yeah.
No. I've heard the term from years ago, so I think it's apt. I mean, I think it does. It borrows from both styles.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I like that.
And yeah, I've heard it in recognition of those bands like Tragedy and stuff.
Yeah.
So
sometimes terms get thrown out so much.
Yeah,
they're just
quick ways of describing something.
Like if I'm talking to someone who, you know...
James, I think he's trying to get us to a new question.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes I tell people that, you know, I sing in a band and people ask me what I think. Like, people are like, you know, total squares. Like, people, you know, like you know, my fucking dad or something.
Yeah.
And they want to know what my band is like. And I have to be like, I guess it's like Alexis on Fire, but, you know... with Slayer, because you know it's like screamo but heavier.
Yeah,
because I had like
that would be his point of reference. They wouldn't understand it.
Sometimes
else.
You just have to use those, even though I, you know, screamo.
I'm cringing right now.
You're out of the band.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to ask you about how many you were talking about shows playing a bunch of shows here in the States. How many shows have you played so far?
If this counts as a show, then nine.
Okay, has anything crazy happened? Aside from me walking out
James
of the room and Chris stripping down?
Well, yeah, no, I...
Yeah, as soon as you left.
I pantsed James. Oh, at the last show we played in Philadelphia, James sliced his finger open and I had blood all over me.
That was
pretty metal.
And drums.
Yeah,
it would have been even more metal if you drew a pentagram with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what's crazy is Chris, our drummer, drops his sticks all the time. It's fucking
been known
wild.
To happen.
No. In
I
Burlington.
Didn't drop a stick today.
We played in Burlington.
Along with his pants, right?
Zing.
He's naked, by the way.
Pranked. We played in Burlington, and the place was packed with 14-year-olds. And the first band was this 14-year-old mosh band where the entire song was like a breakdown. We played for about 30 seconds before entirely clearing the room. And we were quoted as clearing the room like professionals.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
But the littlest kids are moshing like
the littlest ones threw down.
Yeah, they have like moves, but they're not scary. But in Burlington, there's these little guys that throw down like
with all their little hearts.
Yeah, so practiced, but they're so small. It's like I could sit down in the middle of the room and read a book, and I wouldn't be scared of these kids like even ripping a page. But they're trying their best.
I was reading on your MySpace site something about waiting for them. You were There's some comment about waiting for the breakdown. was that in reference to the show?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids were they were waiting, but it never came.
They just gave up waiting.
Yeah.
They went outside. And bought hamburgers.
Yeah. Well, it is Burlington. They're used to two styles of music in Burlington, and we didn't really fit into either.
The Burlington Y is pretty cool, though. It's like it's run really professionally and really well. It's just
this is true.
It just attracts, you know, Burlington children.
Okay. Well, kids get into it somehow, right?
Yeah, it's cool. No, it's wicked. They listen to better music than I did when I was 13. That's for sure.
Hell yeah. That's true. That's a good thing.
I just wish they would stay inside instead of trying to be cool and just only seeing the bands that are the scene bands.
Yeah.
Being a bit more open-minded would be nice, but maybe they'll come around. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I have faith in them.
And, you know, maybe if they find out about your record or something or find out about a recording of you, they'll pick it up just because they saw you.
Maybe we just threw in a mosh part here and there, you know?
Well, another
appeal to the masses.
Yeah. Some breakdowns.
And sometimes you just have to play a city a couple of times before people even care, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Sad but true.
Okay, you were mentioning something about another recording that you're doing. You're doing that in the next month or so?
Probably.
Can you tell us about your plans for recording in the coming up, I guess?
We're going to record with our good friend Diamond Dave Partridge, who's in this band called The Stick Up, who are actually, they're on tour with like Silverstein in the United States right now.
Is that why he's Diamond Dave, or is that
something else? I think I'm the only one who calls him Diamond Dave. Once they get back, he has a studio that all of our old bands have recorded at, pretty much. And we're really, really stoked on recording with him. And we're gonna record a song for our 7-inch coming up within First Person, which we're just so stoked on even being on a record with them, because Tom was in a lot of bands that like we grew up listening to, like you and I and The Assistant and The Ship Will Sink. And we're going to record a song with them that's going to be released and stuff, and then we're going to be demoing some stuff for our full length, our tentative full length, because we're interested in finding a second guitarist, and we're sort of going to fill out the material, decide whether we do want a second guitarist, and if the auditioning thing turns out to be like a chore or whatever, but we're thinking a second guitarist might be sort of fitting for our new stuff, so we're going to demo it out so people can hear what's coming up, and then we also just want to record this cover just so we have a little bit more recorded material out there. And
is that all going to happen over like the spring?
The recording for the next I understand. Yeah, the auditioning I guess will start as soon as those songs are out there.
Yeah. Once we have something demoed or pre-production or whatever you want to call it.
Or written?
Well, we've got it written.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Mostly. Okay. 95%.
Mostly.
Like, okay. we have a couple of songs written, and we're sort of stopping writing these new songs so we don't get too ahead of ourselves. And if we get a guitarist, we have to learn so much, which sucks. He or she. I'm sorry. So we're just writing these two songs, sort of show people where our direction is going, and demoing it out there, and so the guitarist can sort of see where we're going, because it is, you know, it's a bit different from the old stuff. So we're gonna demo it out so people can hear it, basically.
Okay, it's good that you're working with a guy who's recorded both of your bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think at least they have a sense of your sound. It's unique. It's good. I mean, you know. Doesn't always happen, right?
Yeah.
What are the plans coming up for the band aside from recording and looking for a second guitarist? Do you hope to be touring at all coming up, or
well, hopefully playing? This German 12-inch will have us in Europe in the summer. Fingers crossed.
That would be great.
Yeah. Germany's loving us lately. Germany. Yeah. Everyone that
all our MySpace friends are German.
All our MySpace friends.
They have a chocolate bar in Germany called Titan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Swear to God. It's not vegan.
We're
though.
Just a completely unexplained German sensation. We're the David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff.
Just like.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good company.
We can open for him.
But yeah, we would love to just go right to Germany because we just love traveling with the band. It's like
Germany.
It's just awesome.
An experience.
So. It's a good experience.
So and
that's not what you said the last time.
And we just love to like travel as far as we can. You know, like it's fun. It's awesome playing Toronto. It's awesome playing Ottawa and Montreal. But like getting across borders and stuff, and just touring to people who have like you know, no, almost no frame of reference, and if they come up to you and say, "Hey, I've heard you," you know, it's just, it's the best. Yeah, we just love.
Especially because it'll be like a local release there.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
People will be able to get it there.
And another thing I love about touring is I'm vegan, and every city tends to have like one really great vegan restaurant.
So you get to find them.
And so whoever you're staying with or whatever.
And they usually have something different.
Yeah.
That you've never tried before.
Like the vegan Philly cheesesteaks.
Vegan Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
Vegan chicken wings in New York is still my favorite.
Yeah, but if you befriend someone in a city, they're like, "Oh, you're vegan? Oh, I gotta take you to this restaurant." And instead of taking you like, "Oh, this place has good burgers," they take you to like one of the best restaurants in the whole city.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's wicked.
Or they cook you a feast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true too.
Yes.
Someone should put together like a travel diary, but not a diary of sorts, but just like of restaurants and their specialty, like a vegan specialty somewhere.
That is a wide
just so
idea.
You can find like crazy stuff. Because it's, you know, I think a lot as part of the whole thing with the vegan cooking is that when you find out about these great things, they kind of inspire you to kind of cook more and do some things like that. Anyway, it's just, you know, because, you know, you don't think of like having a vegan Philly cheesesteak. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's this place in Philadelphia.
I can't not think about having vegan Philly steaks.
Well, after you've had one,
yeah.
Of course, after you've had one, you can't not think about it. But before then, you've never thought about it.
I'm going to shout out to Gianna's in Philadelphia. It's at South and 6th.
7th.
I've heard so many people talk about this.
It's fucking good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of posters of touring bands who have, I guess, passed through and experienced the vegan cheesesteak.
It seems pretty legendary.
It's fucking good. It's and there's cake. Oh,
cake's really good
cakes
too.
And cupcakes and. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah,
or move to Philly.
If we could talk about food all night. Metal and food are probably
Philly's
the two topics we could just keep going.
The Relapse store too, which links food and metal.
Yeah.
For us.
Philly's okay. We're moving.
Philly's got it.
Okay, I didn't really have much more else. I just wanted to ask how people can get in touch with the band.
We have a website. It's titan.sohc.org. So like Southern Ontario Hardcore.
If you forget the SOHC, what it stands for.
Yeah, so as titan.sohc.org. And our email address would be titan@sohc.org. And then, everyone might, you know, talk shit about, you know, MySpace and social networking, but it's totally...
But it's so useful.
It's so useful. And so that's MySpace/TitanSlays. If you want to get in touch with that, because, you know, everyone's on it and it's useful. It's totally useful.
Mm-hmm. Or the label from Germany is myspace.com/react with protest or
react with protest.org. Nice.
So, there's a website.
Yeah, there's a website and it's got an MP3 from the Chrysanthemum Pledge up there, Movement 3 on their website and their MySpace.
Yeah, which is, it's a totally wicked label. It's put out stuff like Buried Inside and La Quiet and Rayan. And
all of Europe's best like emo bands in the last like 5 years.
Yes, and Canada's.
And Canada's.
Current band.
It's good though. There has been like a cultural dialogue, if you will, between Germany and Canada with different labels and in different genres. And this is also interesting to know.
Yeah, Germany's... I really would like to go to Germany. There's so much good music there. Yeah. There's so much...
Let's cross our fingers.
Drums were made in Germany.
Hey, Bunny's drums were made in Germany.
Let's take them over. any last comments?
We just like to thank you for having us.
Thanks, Steve, as always, for everything you do.
Thanks.
No, thank you for playing. It was amazing to watch you guys. It's I've never heard pretty music played so hard.
That's our new MySpace headline. Yeah.
If I could sum it up that way.
We're taking that one to the bank.
Either that or the lightning rod. Just watching Alex hold that bass way up is just, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But it's Alex is a man
and
of
it
few
is
words.
Heavy.
It's hurting him though.
But his words are well chosen.
And he rides the bass high.
That's not all he rides high.
Just like Steve Harris. There it is.
There you go.
There it is.
Awesome. Okay, let's hear another of the movements, if
movement,
we will.
Movement 1?
Movement 1.
Movement 1.
Here we go.